Good morning. That's better. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the sermon today is a little ironic for a palliative care end-of-life nurse. A story of a bodily resurrection. On the surface, could seem a simple miracle of Jesus telling us about the power he has. A resurrection body is not something we come across every day. In fact, I've never witnessed it, and I've never spoken to anybody that has witnessed it. But I have witnessed the golden moments that people have in the darkest of places, at the darkest of times. And I have personally known somebody who's had a terminal diagnosis and now fully living cancer-free, all from the power of Jesus. However, this sermon's not about that. This sermon comes with a bit of a health warning. Look after yourselves. We're talking about tricky things here. If you do need to step out, feel free, I won't be offended. And if you feel a bit emotional, that's okay. We're among family. You're welcome to sit and feel emotional. Because this is the hard stuff of life. This is real. So we're going to spend a little time thinking about what God's saying to us in Luke 7. In fact, I think it'd be easier standing here talking about giving more money or politics and Brexit situation than sometimes it is talking about death and dying. It's a subject we don't like to talk about very much outside of difficult times and families. But it's a sad fact that pain and loss is not an out of the ordinary experience. It's real. In our church family and our own families, you don't have to spend much time to think of somebody that you know or yourself that's experiencing grief. And I say experiencing because it's not something that suddenly stops. Grief can be caused by many things. It can be caused by the loss of a loved one. It can be caused by illness that takes away your ability to do what you would normally do. It can be caused by life not being as it should be because of circumstance or things that have happened. And when pain comes, people react differently. Not everyone reacts the same way. And sometimes we expect each other to react the same. We expect grief to be visible. But some people grieve with smiles on their faces, and it's not so easy to spot. There's studies about grief, different stages and phases we should go through, as if grief is something to labour through, work on, as if it should be something that we make disappear. The nursing saying of pain is what the person experiencing it says it is. Now, I believe that's the same about grief, because it is unique and individual, because we are unique and individual. God created us that way. Grief is not easily quantified and it's not easily put into words. It's not easily put into a box, nor should it be. But one thing that I come across time and time again when people are grieving is no matter how many people are around them, no matter how many people they see, no matter the circumstance, there are times when they feel alone and lonely. This widow, burying her only son, was in a crowd of people who would have known and loved her. But maybe she felt alone. Did she feel the comfort of the crowd at that point in time? Despite the large crowd, it was her that Jesus saw. He saw her pain and suffering. And he looked at her with compassion in his heart. As I said, some people cry on the outside and some on the inside. But Jesus knows us all, and he can see our tears, no matter how visible they are. He himself has suffered, so he knows suffering intimately. And because he created us, he can see what others may miss. And in that, we are never alone, because he is there with us. His first actions come unbidden. The widow doesn't go and ask for his help. In fact, the widow might not even know who he is. But he does. He helps. His first words are not conventionally taught as a pastoral care tool. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? I've never been taught to tell people who are grieving not to cry. In fact, I think it's probably warned against. It's not very comforting to go around telling people not to cry, and it sounds quite callous. But you see, Jesus could say that because he could do something about it. Without her needing to ask, he brought her only son back to life. He knew her tears were not only for her son, but she was a widow, so it was possibly for her husband also, and also her future. In that time, a widow with her only son, the son would be the one that she'd be relying on to feed her, clothe her, have a roof over her head. And there she was, burying him. She was surrounded by a crowd of people who knew her, who she would have to become reliant on. And being reliant on others is a hard place to be. It's not somewhere we wish to be or want to be. She may have been grieving for her own loss of security. That's a grief as well. So when Jesus looks and sees her, he can see all these things, not just the burial. So he acts to raise her son, not just out of compassion and pity for the loss of a son, but for the circumstance she's going to be left in. I often wrestle with the why does just Jesus heal one person and why doesn't he heal someone else? And I don't believe the answer is going to be found this side of heaven. And I don't think that's something I'm meant to be dwelling on today. And I'm not here suggesting that God's asking us to exercise the gift of bodily resurrection. But I do believe God wants to talk to us about what to do when people are grieving. As I noticed, there are times when we can see grief, and there are times when we can't. Jesus looked, and then he saw. He had his eyes wide open. Grief after years can come in unexpected waves, not be quite so obvious. We can all be there at a funeral or afterwards, or in times of illness or circumstantial poverty. And then after a time, support, thoughts maybe slip away. But that pain can still be sharp. It doesn't suddenly go. Jesus calls us to look and to see. Then, Jesus calls us to act. Jesus acted without needing to be asked. He knew just what to do. Sometimes when we know each other well, we can do that. But we're not Jesus. We can't see inside each other's heads and know what's needed. But sometimes it's those among us that are struggling the most, those of us that are suffering, that can see the needs of somebody else suffering more. But maybe we can't meet them at that point in time because We're needing to meet our own needs. And that's why we're a body. That's why we work together. I still remember, and if you weren't here at the time, you may not, Steph did a sermon on geese. And the geese were flying in formation. And depending where the geese were, how tired they were, would depend where they were flying. And they would catch each other's drift to pull through. And then they'd realign themselves depending whose need was the biggest. And that's how we work with each other. And that's how we work well together. Because when you need a little extra, there's nothing wrong in that. Jesus didn't know this woman at all. But he looked, and he saw, and he acted. And he acted in an unconventional way. He went up and he touched the briar that was carrying the body of her son. Now that, at the time, shocked them so much that they stood still. They stopped moving. It was truly shocking for someone to do that in that time. Because it would defile him, because that's what they believed at the time, that by touching that piece of wood, he would then be dirty. But he did it, because for him, he recognised that didn't matter. Didn't matter what everyone thought. What mattered most was he was doing something for somebody else. And sometimes it's in unconventional ways that we are asked to act. So he told the widow not to cry, which would not be normal at the time. You'd all probably be crying together. And then he touches the funeral wood. Not politically correct, really, was it? So what can we take from that? I believe this passage encourages us to pay more attention to each other in our daily lives. It affirms the support we already do give one another, both emotionally and practically. And it encourages more to care for those within our church community who are grieving. But it asks us not just to look, but to see, and then to act. We do look after one another well in Beverley Baptist Church. But is there more we could do? We're called to act, to protect, and add a little bit more benefit to those that are struggling. I believe we're all likely to be in that position in our lives. But Jesus asked even more than that. He did not know this woman. It wasn't his neighbour. It wasn't the person he regularly saw at the checkout. It was a complete stranger. And he wasn't asked, but he still helped. On our front lines, in our work, in our town, how much time do we spend looking and seeing people we don't already know? I wonder whether this week we can challenge ourselves to pray for God to help us to see somebody in need. Somebody that we haven't already met, and give us the courage to act. He saw her need. Without being asked, he acted. And we can do that. We may not feel called to bodily resurrection, but there are other resurrections, other redemptions, because we are a resurrection people. God empowers us with gifts, and he'll help us to use them. We are called to meet difficult situations and bring light to them. That's what he asks of us through our daily lives. And we each have the ability to do that in small ways, in big ways, and together. He will put people in our way if we ask him to. We can help redeem the most difficult situations that seem impossible because we have him on our side, because we have his power with us. I've seen some of the toughest spots of grief, the most difficult situations, but I've seen the light poured into them by the compassion of another, by the extra thought given, by the smile, by the time and the presence, by a stranger and by a friend. And I believe we can do that. We can bring light to somebody's darkest days. And I'm not just talking about somebody that works in a hospice. I'm talking about somebody you meet in the road or a playgroup. I just can't get over the fact that we can make such a difference when somebody feels that there's no difference to be made. Because we have hope. We have a hope for a future. We have a hope for afterlife. And some people walking around, they don't even have that when they're dealing with their grief. They don't have that to hold on to. And we have that burning within us that they can see if we show them. It might not be in the obvious place, but I believe that if we look to the needs of others, we'll see Jesus staring back at us. He asks us to be bold and to pray. Resurrect our spirits. We may be the ones that are lying down on that funeral briar. Maybe he's asking us to sit up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you can be with us in our darkest of days. Thank you that you know us so intimately that you can see through any pretenses that we put up. Thank you that you know and understand because you have been there. And that we are never alone. Thank you for all you can do in comforting us, and thank you for this body of family you give us. Thank you that you make it okay to have needs, that you make it okay to ask for help. But thank you that even if we don't have the strength to ask for your help, you will still be there. Thank you that we can be a resurrection people because you died on the cross for us. And you rose again. Thank you for the hope and the promise of heaven and the light that we can shine into the darkest of places. And we ask this next week for you to speak more on what you've tried to talk to us today about. Because it'll mean something different to each and every one of us. You've created us to be your children. Your hands and your feet on this earth. Help us to do that well. Amen. Perhaps if you feel that it's right and there's somebody near you that you know could do with a bit of extra prayer this morning, maybe we could just have a little bit of music and just spend a bit of time praying for one another and just discuss with each other whether you want prayer for comfort or whether you want to be boosted on to what you're going to do, what God's challenging you for this week. Is that all right, Phil? Thank you.